You're listening to 2A Radio with Bill Carnes.
Some people do say that I have a touch too much, maybe come on a little bit too strong. But anyhow, you are tuned in to the Second Amendment Radio Show. We like to shorten that down to 2A Radio. As far as I can tell, it is the only Monday through Friday daily nationally syndicated radio show dedicated to the Second Amendment. Now, of course, we talk about all kinds of stuff, be it Second Amendment rights, First Amendment rights, Fifth Amendment rights, states' Tenth Amendment rights, and how the government is getting bigger, badder, bolder, and just trying to hose us out of everything. You are tuned in to Republic Broadcasting Network. RepublicBroadcasting.org is the website. All kinds of great stuff there. Archives are available on the RBN site. It's $1.33 a month. However, RBN is also standing up a second network, the Elected Radio Network, Elected Representatives Network, ERN. If anybody is interested in helping to get that off, that's all self-funded. You can donate a little bit more than the $1.33 a month, $5, $10, $20, whatever it may be. You can go to republicbroadcasting.org and check that out. We also, if you'd like to spread the message, we have generic business cards for RBN. For 100 cards, they're $10. They're full color. They're in a nice glossy finish. They're very nice. I come from a printing background, and I can tell you these are nice cards. They're not junk. They're not some laser printer card that comes off. They're very nice things. If you order those, you can also get an RBN bumper sticker and a free copy of Aaron Russo's America from Freedom to Fascism, which, if you have not seen, is an eye-opener. It is fantastic. So, to order all those things, you can call the regular business office, which is 800-724-2719, or you can mail in to Republic Broadcasting at 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302. That's Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And if at any time you'd like to call into the show, the call-in number is 800-313-9443. That's how to get a hold of me right here live. So, with all of that being said, we do have a couple of show sponsors I would like to get to. First of all, you can go to BillCarnes.com. That is all about me. I am the host of the show. I was on the first series of History Channel's Top Shot, which is a shooting-based reality competition show of sorts. I was on season one with 15 other fantastic people. You can, also on there, I have my NFA tab. It says NFA Guns with a question mark. You can click on that. I put together Class 3 NFA Trusts. And that is if you'd like to own any sort of NFA items, the National Firearms Act, be it machine guns, submachine guns, suppressors, explosive devices, destructive devices, I think they're called, and then the AOW, any other weapons. You can own those personally, or you can form a corporation, or the most leeway and the quickest way of getting about it, and the least expensive, is by far, by going through with the NFA Trust. I set those up individually for everybody. Additionally, one of our sponsors is RoninTactical.com. Now, Ronin Tactical features high-end defensive tactics types firearms instructors. And what they do is they're also certified in many of the states to teach concealed weapons permits. So what happens is you get together a group, you get a hold of RoninTactical.com, R-O-N-I-N, they send out one of their certified instructors, and you sit down and you go through the concealed weapons permits, which will get you about 30-plus states between the concealed weapons permits that you'll get wherever you live. It doesn't matter. So they will send folks out to get you set up with that. So go to RoninTactical.com. You can also go to my website, BillCarnes.com, and the show website, 2aradio.com. I have all of my archives there and information about me on both sites. So there you go. Stay tuned, folks. You're tuned in live right here with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You are listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
And there you go. All right. Everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. Let's really kick this thing into gear. Now, yesterday, right after the show, I went to the Nye County Sheriff's Office. I was the first civilian in the history of Nye County Sheriff's Office to sit in on the shooting review board. That's where basically anybody who is a who's on the Sheriff's Department that launches a round and, I'm not sure if it needs to draw blood or not, but anybody that shoots, as far as I know, as long as a bullet leaves their gun, they have a review board. So traditionally they've sat in there and had, an assistant sheriff of some kind, maybe captain or a couple lieutenants, somebody the same rank of whoever the shooter was, possibly sergeant. Well, the sheriff of our fine county, Sheriff Tony DeMeo, has decided that he wanted to include a civilian in there because, the citizens of Nye County and focus groups had been asking for something like that. So I was invited by the assistant sheriff to sit in there and, be the first civilian to do this review board. Three different cases. And when I first got the email about it, it said, I would imagine you should probably be able to get through all three cases in a day. I'm thinking they were pretty straightforward. Well, the day before, of course, this whole thing took place on a Thursday. So the day before on Wednesday, right after the show, I went in and I met with the assistant sheriff, a guy by the name of Rick Marshall, great guy. He's been in the policing business for, probably 24, 25 years. So I sit down with him, and he provides me with copies of everything, minus one bit of dash cam video for one of the officer-involved shootings. The only copy that they were able that they were aware that they had been booked into evidence. So to unbook it out of evidence, blah, 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 we were going to watch it at the hearing the following day, being yesterday now. Anyhow, so no big deal. So I take all the information, I go home, I read all of the reports, I listen to all of the radio traffic, all of the 911 calls, all of the interviews with the police officers, the deputies, I should say, after each of the shootings, go through everything. So I've got a very good picture of what's going on. And in fact, they all were very straightforward, very clean shoots. I was actually kind of hoping for something that might have been a bit questionable so that I could use my natural questioning, sort of inquisitive mind sort of a thing to kick into this whole inquest. But they were all very, very straightforward. I'll give you the instance of one of them that involves not a person but a dog. Nye County Sheriff's Department ends up getting a search warrant to search, I think I found out, it wasn't in the reports, but I believe the search warrant was for guns and drugs. So they go to this mobile home and knock on the door, Nye County Sheriff's search warrant. So nobody opens the door. So they end up having to go in there. They kick the door. As soon as they kick the door, a pit bull starts snarling, running towards in an attack sort of fashion to the first deputy through the door. So he fires one round, hits the dog in the eye, dog is down, done. That's what the hearing was over, was they're doing a search warrant. The guy that they're looking for ends up running out the back, ends up hiding in the garage, leaving his grandmother and his dog. And of course, the grandma and the dog both say, the dog wouldn't have hurt you. However, it shows, the reports show from all the officers involved that there was, snarling dog, blah, blah, blah. And quite honestly, you have to take the testimony of the cops just so far because cops want to make sure that they're okay. And there is a code. I mean, the boys in blue take care of each other. That's just the way things are. But you look at the evidence, and it doesn't seem as though somebody would shoot the dog right there at the front door in a malicious manner. The way the dog was folded up looked as though it had been moving in a forward motion when it caught the round. And it was literally right there, I don't know, probably less than a foot from the door jamb for the front door. So that was pretty simple. That was very straightforward. Boom. You know, they go in there. Here comes a dog. Arf, arf, woof, woof. Boom. Right to the head. Dog's done. They finish a search warrant. They find the guy. They hook him up. They secure grandma. And I don't know if they found what they were looking for or not. I heard they did. I heard that they went in there. It was a good search warrant. It was the guy they were looking for. It's not like they kicked the door of the wrong person. So very straightforward. The next incident, I shouldn't say the next. I don't remember which order we took it in. I think that was the first. Anyhow, the next incident I'm going to speak of is a guy that was essentially a Polish hostage. Now, there's a guy and his girlfriend. Neighbor calls in and says, these guys are fighting next door again. When this guy gets drunk, he gets really violent and out of control. He provides the girlfriend's phone number. So dispatch calls the girlfriend. Hey, we hear some stuff's going on. She agrees. Yes, they are. He gets drunk. He gets violent. You can hear the guy in the background saying, bring him on. Along the lines of, you know, if they come around, I'll shoot them all. Something along that lines. I forget exactly what the guy said. And you could hear this over the 911 call. All right. Or I'm sorry, over the dispatch call. Hey, is everything okay? And this woman say, no, not really. Here's the deal. Now, I'm 3 months pregnant. This guy's violent. I want to get the hell out of here. Blah, 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 blah. So this guy ends up being kind of a pseudo-hostage taker, pseudo-Polish hostage. Polish hostage being the kind of guy that says, you know, come in here, I'll blow my own head off. At one point in time, he actually had the gun to his head and said, you know, when I count to 10, I'm going to pull the trigger. So he counted to 10 and he ended up not pulling the trigger. Deputies were at a bit of a distance away. It was a mobile home on a large lot. Now, that's just the way things are here in Pahrump. A lot of people live on larger parcels, and there's a lot of mobile homes in different areas throughout the entire valley. So there's some deputies with handguns that are a little bit further away. A deputy that shows up that is a designated sniper, he's able to set up and get the guy in a scope. Keep in mind, all of this is going on about 11:30 p.m., so, you know, 23:30 hours for those of you who want to take the military time. It's pretty late at night. So we have the only ambient light. It was a new moon. Happened to be a new moon. There was no light out at all. The only light was one light on a porch. And this guy was back and forth on and off of the porch. So they end up, you know, they have eyes on this guy. Another deputy starts to sneak up and ends up laying prone in the dirt on the side of the house, just in case a bad guy comes swinging around from the front or the back, because their attempt was to have the 911 dispatcher, when the deputy said it was clear out front, to have the 3-month pregnant girlfriend sneak out the back and, you know, get clear. So then there was no one else in the house. They certainly didn't want her injured, either by him or by officers' stray fire or anything such as that. So this whole thing goes on for like an hour and 40 minutes from the time the first call happened till the time the scene was over. The officer, the deputy, I keep saying officer, they're officially deputies. When the deputy who snuck up onto the side of the house and went prone, he had an open sight Mini 14, his own personal weapon, which he had been approved to carry. He had department-issued ammo, all that good stuff. If you get approved to carry a patrol rifle, it's a .223 caliber. You can either carry a Mini 14 or an AR-15 or any other variant that the sheriff approves. And as long as it has duty ammo that they issued to you and you follow all the policies and procedures after going through the class, blah, 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 you can have your own personal gun that's been approved. And that's pretty common across the country with a lot of departments. So As it turns out, bad guy ends up going, he at one point in time fired around into the dirt towards the deputies. And a lot of restraint was taken by the deputies who were out front, A, not returning fire, and B, the designated marksman, the sniper, not returning fire. So he just shot out into the ground towards the area of the deputies, and that was it. One round out of a .22 revolver. So then some time goes by. He ends up going around the side of the house where the other deputy is with his Mini 14 and sees the deputy, sees the outline silhouette of the deputy, notices the gun, and then points the gun at the deputy and starts moving in on him with both hands on the gun. The deputy fires one round, hits a guy in the upper chest area over on what would be towards his right shoulder, but in the chest. He lived. He's in the hospital now. Fired one round. The guy remarked, "You shot me," and then fell down. So, again, a very clean shoot. Really nothing to do about it. The next shoot that we're going to speak about after we return from this break coming up is one that was a little bit more involved, and actually a deputy lost his life in this one. So we'll tell you about that after the break. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, and you are tuned in right here to 2A Radio. RoninTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RoninTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RoninTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RoninTactical.com.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Welcome back, everyone. So, okay, here we are. The third and final shooting that we discussed was kind of the big one of the group, and this had a dash cam video. Now, the dash cam video system that Nye County Sheriff's Office uses is called iCop, and it is incredibly high-quality color digital. It is really high quality. I was very surprised at the high quality that this is. This is evidently a newer system. Everybody has seen different versions of dash cam video, you know, be it on the news or YouTube or wherever. This was really high-quality stuff. And it showed everything you needed to show. Here's the case. A girl and a guy have been going out. They split up. This girl ends up going with a friend of hers, if I remember correctly. A friend of hers drives her over to get some stuff from the boyfriend. And the girl who's the friend who's doing the driving borrows her boss's car. She works at a casino called Terrible's Lakeside. Terrible's Lakeside's about 3 miles from my house. It's not around. It's actually more in a residential area than anywhere else. So they end up going over. I guess they live, you know, off in another direction, not far from Lakeside, maybe a mile or so. Who knows? So she ends up the girlfriend and her friend and the friend's boss's car end up over the guy's house. I guess it's getting loud and obnoxious. So the friend who's driving and driving her boss's car calls 911 and says, "Look, here's where I am. This is what's going on. And, you know, this guy's really getting out of hand if we could get some deputies out here. And she even admits, now, because here was my contention with this whole thing happened back in April, is if this girl was going over and she knew this guy had some sort of a temper, she should have called the deputies and said, look, will you do a standby, a keep the peace standby while I get my stuff? Well, this friend who did the driving, brought the girl over, said, I told her she should call deputies and have deputies come when she comes over, but she didn't do it. Well, that probably would have been the saving grace. However, it didn't happen. On the 911 call, you can hear the guy shooting at her. He grabs what they later find they believe to be a .357 Magnum that he actually tried shooting at her. She ends up getting in the car. They take off. This guy shoots at the back of the car, takes out the back window and at least one, if not both, of the rear tires. That was unclear. So they're on the phone with 911, letting him know what's going on. You can hardly hear what's going on because of the, you know, I got to tell you, one of the most frustrating things in an excited moment like that is, quite honestly, and I know I'm going to get some email about it, is a babbling woman that cannot hear herself speak, cannot understand, nobody can understand what she's saying, and it's imperative, the information that she's got that she can share, and just babbling, just in a tone nobody can understand. And I got to tell you, that is sheer frustration, especially in something along the lines of police work. And now they end up stopping at Terrible's Lakeside, where this girl works. It's her boss's car. And the reason they do it is the car won't keep going because it's spinning out because of the tire or tires that are shot out. Well, deputies are on their way. Evidently, this guy shows up, and they're looking. The woman describes this guy's vehicle as a Chevy work truck, like a construction vehicle. So they're on their way to Lakeside, and they're looking for this white Chevy pickup that has some sort of a construction tag on it. Well, as it turns out, he's not in that at all. He's in a white Saturn, and this thing hadn't moved this thing in months, so they didn't think he would drive that. Evidently, he did. And evidently, he takes and he puts an AK-47 in the car with a bunch of loaded magazines. Ends up over at Lakeside. He figures that's where they are for whatever reason. We don't know. Goes in. The security notices, okay, this is the guy that these girls came in about. Because Knight County Sheriff said, tell security and go hide in the bathroom. So they tell security. He comes in. Security says, get out. We don't want you. Go, go, go. Leave. So this guy says something along the lines of, I'll be back and you'll be sorry. So he ends up coming back. He's one deputy is coming in a Jeep off of the north entrance. Two other deputies are coming in a pickup from the south entrance. And as they arrive, this white Saturn is kind of sandwiched between the front of their cars. They don't know who this guy is. Well, this guy pops out of the door and starts shooting at the driver of the pickup, Deputy Deutsch. Now, here's Deputy Deutsch soaking up rounds. This guy fired something like 14 rounds, and it was rapid fire. I'm watching this on video because it was that same pickup, the one that Deutsch was driving, that had the dash cam video, the high-quality dash cam video. The bad guy ends up firing 14 rounds out of this AK in probably about three and a half seconds. The deputy in the Jeep, now they don't know who this guy is when they're pulling up. The deputy in the Jeep gets out. He's the one that returns fire. And I'm going to give you a little bit more of the details about his fire returning when we come back after the break. Pretty amazing how this whole thing went down. So stay tuned with Bated Breath. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
All right, welcome back. So we're at this scene at this casino called Terrible's Lakeside, which they call it Lakeside. They have a big man-made lake and a really beautiful RV park around the back casino up front. There's a big restaurant in there. There is a convenience store on the side, gas pumps out front. So they're out front of this place on the main stretch of roadway there. It's at the corner of these two larger roads, which is Homestead and Thousand Air. There's no millionaires around. There's a Thousand Air around. Anyhow. So these two deputy vehicles pull up again. Now, Deutsch, who's the driver, the deputy who's the driver of the pickup truck, has a field training officer next to him. Now, he's not in field training, but he had just come back from serving 1 year in Afghanistan. And this was, I believe, his second day back and on the job. He'd been back for a month, had a month off, came back to work as a deputy. He left, I think, with the Nevada National Guard. Deployed for a year, comes home. So they end up, and Deutsch's vehicle ends up basically grill to grill. There's distance between, but the position is a basically grill to grill, off at maybe a 30-degree angle, 25-degree angle or something, with this Saturn. And the driver of the Saturn just pops out and starts shooting an AK-47. Pops out, opens a front door, and between the A-pillar and the door jamb, through that little V area, just starts shooting towards a driver. Hits a driver three, maybe four times after firing 14 rounds just rapidly. Basically just threw the gun out there and started slapping the trigger. Well, the deputy pulled in behind in the Jeep Cherokee pulls out his gun. He's got a Glock 23. Great gun. Again, I believe, I've said this many times on the air, I believe the Glock 23 is the all-around, everything considered, best defensive firearm in the world. That's my thinking. I believe he actually had the compensated version, the 23C, which, not a big fan of compensators at all. I don't know what you're compensating for. But anyhow, he had a Glock 23. Good choice of guns. So he immediately sees what's going on, notices that this guy's firing. He came in and testified with us. I shouldn't say testified. He came in and told his story. And said, now, I didn't hear him shoot. I saw him shoot. I didn't even hear me shoot. He pulls out his gun, and in 1.7 seconds, at a distance of maybe, I don't know, 4 yards or so, he's now looking at this guy who's firing this AK-47, looking essentially at his back. Looking at his back, slight angle, but looking at his back, nonetheless. Ends up putting four rounds into this guy. Two of them were essentially touching. A third one was within an inch or two of that, all centered up, center of the back, thoracic cavity, the chest area from the rear of the body. The fourth round ends up going into the guy's shoulder and splitting down between the clavicle and going into the chest area, because by that point in time, the bad guy had started falling. But I think the first one ripped through and severed his spine, so he started to fall. Another one ripped through his aorta. I mean, these are really, really excellent shot placements. And four shots in 1.7 seconds. And it was over. That's about this long. From here to but there. How about that? So let's do this again. Boop. Boop. That's about 1.7 seconds. Four rounds. Boom, 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 boom. Into this guy. He drops. Drops hard. So the driver of the pickup truck, Deutsch, is down. His FTO runs around and starts caring for him. There's three deputies on the scene. One is shot. One is caring for the one who's shot. The other one just dumped the bad guy. So he ends up moving in. We see all this. He ends up holstering the gun, hooking this guy up. And then everybody in the county starts filtering in from there. Deputy Deutsch ended up getting loaded onto the air ambulance and medevaced into Las Vegas, which is about a 15 or 20 minute flight. One of my private clients, who is an emergency room physician at the hospital he's taken to, worked on him. And he didn't make it. He took a round to the gut, took a round to the femoral artery, took a round to the arm, took a round to the chest, I think. It was where all of them went. And the combination of the one to the femoral artery and the one in the gut ended up spilling toxins into the bloodstream. The one in the femoral artery ended up losing a bunch of blood. So now what blood is in his body, the toxification is much higher. goes into surgery, gets out of surgery, and doesn't last another 20 or 30 minutes. It was just, there was too much blood loss, too much toxin in the blood, a high toxin content, and organs and things started shutting down. It just, it didn't work out. And unfortunately, the deputy died his second day back on the job after serving our country in Afghanistan. So very, just a tragedy. Bad guy done. He was basically done right there. The rounds severed his spine, severed the aorta. He's bleeding out inside. Four total rounds done. So, yet again, another very clean shoot. And I have to compliment the deputy who dumped the bad guy in this one, because they had no idea who this guy in the Saturn was. They had no idea. They all pull up all at the same time. The Saturn stops moving. Both deputies' vehicles stop moving maybe a second or two after the Saturn comes to a stop. One at the front, one in the back. They're literally arriving at the same time. As a deputy in this Jeep Cherokee's getting out, the guy in the Saturn is out firing rounds rapidly. And the deputy, there is no hesitation whatsoever. Absolutely none. He's out of the vehicle. He's between the A-pillar and the door frame as well. Pulls out his gun and delivers four rounds perfectly centered up into this guy's back. Well, three of them were perfectly centered into his back. The fourth one was in the same area, but the guy was falling at the time. As we talked, it went into the shoulder around the clavicle, you know, and passed underneath the clavicle, I believe, into the thoracic cavity. They're in the thorax there. And all of them into the chest cavity. Perfect training. And here's the interesting thing. This is one of the first times, maybe the second or third time ever, I've ever spoken to anybody in this instance who was an officer involved in a shooting that actually in a hot situation, rounds being fired, you're shooting somebody who's shooting back at you or shooting at another cop. He said he actually remembered all four rounds that were fired. He fired four rounds and he remembered firing four rounds. Most of the time that doesn't happen. So very heads up to this deputy. He's been under fire before. So this is not his first rodeo. Very, very clean shoot. And excellent job on his part. Excellent job on the entire Knight County Sheriff's Office in all three of these shootings. And quite honestly, I wasn't expecting that much. I really wasn't. Because most cops, they're not really that heads up. It's like, hey, you know, if the gun needs to come out, it's going to get used. I'll tell you this. There in this shooting hearing, this shooting review board, there is a detective in there. And I ended up going out to lunch. I know a guy who works for the county in another division. We went out to lunch. Some of the other guys were there. And this deputy came out as well. He's a detective. And seems like a good guy. Actually, most of the people on this board seemed pretty good. There were two lieutenants there. One of them seemed a little crusty towards me, and I'll get to that in a minute. But in the shooting involving the guy with the girlfriend that was kind of the Polish hostage that ended up firing a round out of his .22 revolver towards the deputies, they didn't fire back, then ends up moving in on the deputies proned out on the side of the house running somewhat of a perimeter security, and that's a deputy who shot him. This guy evidently was a real kind of societal turd, if you will. The detective said, yeah, you know, this is the guy's history, this is what he's gone through, blah, da, 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 da. And, you know, sooner or later he needed to get shot, something along that lines. Well, and my reaction, I didn't say anything, but my reaction is, okay, that's fine, and I can understand that, having been a cop. However, the question here is, when the guy did get shot, did the deputy do it legally and with justification, and was he within your firearms policy? That's the question. The question is not, did this guy need to get shot because of all of his history, and is he a turd and a dredge of society? That's not the question. That's not for police to decide. The question here is, when he actually did get shot, was it legal? Was it justified? Was it within policy? That's the question. That's what we were there to decide. So, there was one training-related issue that I brought up between these three, and it happened in two of the three shootings. Both were with the handguns. One was where the deputy shot the dog. He ended up reholstering the gun when things were done, and really, training provides common sense. I shouldn't say common sense, but the training of somebody who carries a gun for a living and may have to use it is, before you holster your gun, you top off your magazine, you put a fresh magazine, do what's called a tactical reload. Now, I could stand in front of you and show you probably a dozen different versions of a tactical reload. The method of the tactical reload is unimportant. That it gets done is important. There's a lot of ways to fumble around with two magazines or just take the magazine that's in the gun out, put it away, put a new one in off a belt pouch or wherever it is. That's fine. I don't care. But put the gun away fully loaded. In the case where the officer shot the dog, he didn't do that. Okay. It's in their training, which is then pseudo policy. So it's not a policy violation. You don't really want to worry about that. I mean, you're not going to hammer the guy in something like this. But, you know, tack load the gun and put it away. And also the one involving the death of Deputy Deutsch out at Terrible's Lakeside Casino, that deputy did not do a tactical reload either. However, I understand that one because the only three deputies on scene were Deputy Deutsch, who was shot, his training officer, who was caring for him, and then the deputy who actually shot the bad guy and had to solely take him into custody. So, you just had this guy just shot. You know he shot your partner. You know he shot the other deputy. You shot him. He's dumped. He's on the ground. So now you have to take him into custody yourself. Do you keep your gun pointed at this guy, perform a tactical reload, holster, and then put the cuffs on him? Or do you get right up on him where you can get hands on, then immediately holster and put the cuffs on within, you know, a couple of seconds? Well, that's the right thing to do. And he did it. He had the gun out. He shot. He came over. He covered the guy. Ended up gun in hand until the last moment where he needed to use that hand to finish cuffing this guy. Yeah, he's on the ground. He's bleeding out. He might be alive. He might be dead. He might be playing possum. You don't know. It's called officer safety. And knowing that this guy already had a gun and already shot one officer, in this case deputy, you are not going to goof around with this guy. He's already proven himself to be a lethal threat. So he's got the gun out, you know, pulls out the cuffs, gets everything done, holsters, hooks him, it's done. Now, from there, I doubt the deputy had the presence of mind to pull the gun out, do a tactical reload, and reholster, which would have been the second option. It's a hot scene. There's sirens coming from every direction. You've got to maintain control of this guy who's down. Handle the radio traffic because the deputy who's down has his FTO handling him. So now, basically, you're in charge of this scene. And this deputy was. He was running the scene. He did the shooting. He did the cuffing. He did the radio traffic. He's handling all of this as professional as anybody could possibly have done. I mean, anybody who is a police officer that would ever see themselves in the same or a similar situation would be lucky to perform as well as this deputy did. And he performed virtually flawlessly. And he later didn't pull out the gun and do a tackle. By that time, the rest of the cops are around. Okay, so the whole thing worked out very, very well when it comes to the shooting-related portion of this. It pisses me off to absolutely no end that the girlfriend goes over to this guy's house, was advised, you know, maybe because this guy's shown a little bit of violence, you should call sheriff's department and have him stand by as they keep the peace. And she blows it off, doesn't do it. Now, this guy owned a lot of guns. This bad guy, the guy who ended up getting shot and killed, he owned a lot of guns. He had no priors, no arrest record, no history of violence, officially. He even had a concealed weapons permit. Not that that came into play because he had an AK-47 with a whole bunch of loaded magazines. That's not a CCW kind of a gun. But he was a card-carrying, stamped, bona fide good guy. And that's another thing that completely cheeses me off here, is this guy was one of us when it comes to being a responsible gun owner without a criminal history and a concealed weapon. And he flips. He didn't use his CCW to go and shoot. He used an AK-47, and he's totally pissed off. Why? Because of issues with his woman, or in this case, ex-woman. Which, you know, the big things that set people off. Bullies, usually when people are younger. Being fired from a job, and a love interest gone bad. Those are the three major things that really set otherwise reasonable people off. Again, bullies and getting fired from a job and a love interest gone bad. That's really what we're looking at. Guys, stay tuned. There's more to come. We'll be back after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back up, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on.
All right, everybody. It is Friday. I want to thank everybody for having been tuned in throughout the week. It's been a week like every other. There's a lot of fighting to try to retain our rights, whether it's our First Amendment rights, whether it's our Second Amendment rights, whether it's the states fighting with the federal government over their 10th Amendment rights. It's a constant battle. We never seem to get away from it. And here's the thing that really seems to hold true. We have people in legislative authority, whether it's from your local town all the way up to and including the entire Congress, both houses, the House and the Senate. And we have people in those positions of authority when it comes to legislative creation that aren't really too concerned about your rights. Unfortunately, they are not referring to the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, the federal Constitution. And at the state level and below, they're not referring to the constitution of that state. And they're just randomly passing all this legislation, a lot of which inhibits your rights and mine. Then we end up with an executive branch, be that from the president down into the law enforcement and police ranks, to where they now begin to enforce this legislation, which is otherwise unconstitutional. Until someone gets arrested and fights on its constitutional authority by spending a lot of money with somebody other than a court-appointed attorney, then we end up having problems where we have to try to find things to be unconstitutional. Then that doesn't necessarily mean that the legislative branch will repeal anything, rewrite anything, or the executive branch will ever enforce things differently. We need to fight at the legislative battle. We need to fight at that level first. That's our primary battleground, the legislative battleground. We need to essentially replace anybody and everybody who has a voting record that would subvert your rights, which quite honestly, folks, is probably 90-plus percent of those people from a town, city, county, state, and federal level, which are elected to do such things. You need to get in touch with the people who are elected officials, who are also elected into the executive branch, such as city attorneys, district attorneys, attorney generals of your states, and let them know that you'll be fighting, and fighting hard, to make sure that unconstitutional laws that are already on the books come off of the books, and we no longer have to deal with them. It's up to them not to enforce unconstitutional laws. Thanks for spending your week here.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2WayRadio.com.